good morning, everybody. This is a meeting of members of parliament. So they said today they wanted to hear from the Auditor General's office as to what consultants are they in the Department of Health, how are they doing, are they still in the department when they leave, what is going on, how much money is still there. So I'm told that they are already here. But the leader is not going to be the one who's going to be presenting. She wants to delegate the job to other people. And I think she's got powers to delegate. And she has delegated to couples and people who know how to do it. So that is number. And after we have Auditor General, which is going to go until tea, after tea we're going to be meeting the Council of Medical Aid Schemes. So I was trying to welcome you. Thank you very much for yesterday for passing those two amendments. And I think the department is very happy that they're going to be able to work to proper service delivery. We're trying to assist them to make sure that they transform this country, especially the health services. So thank you very much for agreeing that those two amendments, and hence for the time that we have taken to make sure that they are through the National Assembly. So members, as usual, can we introduce ourselves before they start telling us who they are and telling us about what we want to hear from them? We'll start from Mama Kosa down there. Dumela Mme.
Tsogile, lebitso la ka ke Rebecca Makosha Motsepe, ke modudu wa komiti e ke sa fa mo politeng tsa ke. I am Hilda Sizakele Mtsweni, the cousin of the chair.
I am Padre Hanare, just an ordinary member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Morosi Sekhalidi Tswai. I'm the member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am Richard. You're welcome.
Good morning. My name is Jess Mastilo. Member of Parliament within the committee.
Morning. My name is Lekheto, a member of this committee. Thanks.
Okay. Those are the members that are going to be asking you questions of clarity and asking you some questions to be clear. Welcome, Kosad. Let's welcome Kosad. We've got other people that are assisting us. Unobale, I don't see where she is. She's assisting us. We've got Ufio Zazu, we've got Olindo, we'll say you were assisting us. And Zuzube, I didn't see you, Zuzube. Why are you hiding today? Okay, thank you. So we'll give over to you, Auditor General.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. I'm Marijke Snijhans, Performance Auditing, Auditor General.
Good morning, committee. Al Numeré, the senior manager in the Auditor General.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. My name is Jolene Pillay. I'm senior manager at the Auditor General's office.
Thanks, Jolene. You're not going to be doing anything, you're just leading them.
No, Chair, it's actually not our report, it's a performance audit report, so Marijke will be doing the presentation.
Okay. I'm told that we are blessed to have the Department of Health here, just to observe. Maybe let's leave them quiet, because I'm not going to be asking them questions, but we welcome this development. And I see BHF is here. Maybe we'll talk about the 28 billion that goes to the doctors who are claiming wrongly. We'll hear about how the investigation is going on. But this is not Marikana Commission, so you don't have to worry, though. But you are welcome to this meeting. Okay, let's give over to you, Auditor General.
Thank you, Chief. If I can start with the presentation on the performance audit that was done on the use of consultants at the National Department of Health. I'm starting off with the representation promise and vision of the Auditor General of South Africa. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, and as the supreme audit institution of South Africa, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. I want to highlight that in terms of enabling oversight. That's why we are here today, to brief the portfolio committee, to enable the committee to know and get clarity on the content of this report, so that you can oversee the processes and measures that the department put in place. When I go to the next slide, the performance auditing. What is a performance audit? It's an independent auditing process to evaluate the measures put in place by management to ensure that resources have been procured economically and utilized efficiently and effectively, specifically with regards to consultants, where the department procures services from consultants, and then how the department utilizes these consultants in an efficient and efficient and effective way. If we go to the next slide, why a performance audit on the use of consultants? First, a significant amount was spent on the use of consultants during the 3 years. We refer to 2008-09, 2009-10, and 2010-11 financial years. For the 3 years, an amount of 102 billion was spent on the use of consultants. This is provincial departments as well as national departments. Secondly, in South Africa, there is a skills crisis. That's why departments are using consultants. Departments use consultants to get specialist knowledge and expertise from these consultants to, at the end of the day, use them to achieve their objectives and targets. And that's also why we are saying with the use of consultants, there's a relationship that are of national importance, as the departments are using consultants to achieve their targets and objectives as per the National Development Plan. Second last block, public sector can benefit. We are not saying that the use of consultants is bad. There must just be a good partnership between the consultant as well as the department, and then the measures that the department put in place to monitor and evaluate the works of the consultant to, at the end of the day, obtain value for their money. And then the last one, previous performance audits. During 1996 and 2001, audit was done on the use of consultants, and now a follow-up audit has been done to identify whether any of these measures are still not in place. How does a performance audit differ from other audits that the Auditor General are doing? A performance audit focuses on the 3 E's, economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. First, like I referred to in the previous slide, whether the department procure the use of consultants in an economical way, at the right place, at the right time, at the right quality, and at the right price. Then whether they utilize these consultants in an efficient and effective manner. When we refer to efficiency, we are talking about the relationship between input and output. What is with the minimum input, what is the maximum output you can achieve? Effectiveness is whether you achieve your objectives or your goals that you set with this consultant at the end of each contract. A performance audit is done where problems is identified, compared to a regularity audit on the other side, which our colleagues at the back, Jolene, she's part of the regularity audit team. They focus more on the finances of the department, the financial statements, the financial management, and whether the accounts of the department is a true reflection of the day-to-day activities of the department. And this is done on an annual basis. The next slide is the department that was included in the scope of this audit. Previously, I referred to the 102 billion that was spent by government on the use of consultants at the national as well as the provincial departments. From here, you can see the blue part, the national department, is 33% of the 102 billion. You can also see from 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011, there's a there's a consistent way of spending on the use of consultants. There's not an increase there. On the other side, when you look at the provincial expenditure on consultants, from 2008-09 to 2010-11, there was an increase on the use of consultants. For the next slide, for the national departments, 8 national departments was included in the scope of the audit, of which half is one department. 24.6 billion over the 3 years is the total that was audited. You can see from the total one, is the 416 million that was spent by the national departments of health in the 3 year period, 2008-09, 19, and 10-11. These two departments were selected based on the expenditure at these departments, the outcomes from the financial audits, which we refer to as the regularity audits, and then also assessments done by the performance auditors when they do the planning for the specific team. The next slide. It's the key focus areas of this audit. There's 6 focus areas that were identified where specific work was done and it was also reported like this. Focus areas of the audit. Planning and appointment processes. It is the planning for the use of consultants and appointment processes. Whether a competitive procurement process was followed when we are procuring consultants. Whether, for example, cost analysis was done, whether the department did a comparison between the using of consultants or whether to appoint employees internally to perform this task. The second one was internal capacity at the department. When the department, for example, do not have an internal capacity, and as a result thereof, they appointed consultants. Training and transfer of skills from consultants to employees. It's very important that when they appoint a consultant, usually as part of their contract, it will be in there that they must transfer these specialist skills to the department, that the department do not in future need to appoint these consultants again or become reliant on them. So they must transfer skills to the department, performance management and monitoring of consultants. This is a very important one where the department should monitor and evaluate the progress of the consultant, whether they perform within their budget, whether they perform their work within time, to at the end of the day achieve their goal. Extension of contract is where the department extend the contract of the use of consultants year by year by year, and they are paying for it, and at the end of the day, they might possibly become reliant on the use of consultants. The last one is the closing and finalization of contracts, where we are saying at the end of a project, the work of the consultant needs to be evaluated to see whether the department receives value for money. We refer to a closing out report that is compiled to say yes, we received value for money, or no, we didn't, and we will not appoint these consultants in the future again. Can we refer to the next slide? Key challenges. Key challenges across departments. This is not at the Department of Health. This is that was picked up during the audit at all 8 national departments, and that's the summary thereof. It's also according to the focus areas that I 6 focus areas I mentioned in the previous slide. Planning and appointment process. Comprehensive needs and assessment was not done before a consultant is appointed, or the planning was not done. Competitive procurement processes was not followed. Tender process wasn't followed. Quotations were not obtained. Expectations on milestones, timelines, and costs not clearly specified. During the planning and their contract, they must specifically be included what is their milestone, what is expected of them, when this project needs to be finished, and was not included. Internal capacity, consultants appointed where permanent capacity should have been created. Consultants were appointed due to a lack of internal staff. Training and transfer of skills. Skills transfer were not done at all or were ineffective. Performance management and monitoring. effective oversight and internal controls not executed prior to payment. The department did not monitor and evaluate the work of the consultant at on a timely basis. Lack of proper project management and monitoring against timelines and against the budget. Cost overruns not motivated in the group, where the department spent more than the original contract amount. Extension of contracts extended due to a lack of project management and monitoring. The department was monitoring these projects on a timely basis. They needed a consultant for an extensive time. Closing and finalization of projects. Failure to retrospectively analyze these projects. That's why I previously referred to the closeout report to see whether value for money was obtained after these projects are finished. For the next slide, I go specifically to the National Department of Health. National Department of Health, total expenditure on the use of consultants for the 2008-9, 2009-10, and 2010-11 years is 416 million. The number of projects that was included in this audit is 7. Value of projects audited 301 million. And then the average vacancy rate for the 2 years was approximately 29%. Total expenditure for the use of consultants, 2008-9, 2009-10, and 2010-11, you can see there's a decrease to the 2019 and then a small increase in 2010-11. For purposes of this audit, agencies and outsourced services, contractors, and then consulting or professional services were grouped under the name consultants. If I look at agencies or outsourced services, this is usually where a department has the capacity within the department to do the work, but just because of a specific reason, at that time they didn't have the people, for example, high vacancy rate. Contractors is usually where work is done of a non-core service, you don't need that person within the department, and it's easier to contract them out because it's the most economical way of using them, because it's a non-core service. And for the purposes of this audit, those three categories were put together and we called it the consultants. For the agencies and outsourced services, this is where usually the department has capacity within a department to do this job. But because of a specific reason, there was nobody to do it, and then a consultant was appointed. So usually there would have been a supply chain management manager, but due to vacancy rate, there's not somebody, so they appointed a consultant for a short period who's coming out at the department. Contractors is where it's a non-core service. You contract them in because it's the most economical way of doing it. It's the cheapest because you don't need a person in the department business, for example, cleaning services or when entertainment is arranged, that is will be a contractor. Consulting or specialized services is where the consultants is. That is where you procure expert skills or specialist skills from a company or a person. They come and help you out on a material and time basis. It's usually a once-off basis or on a temporary basis where they come and share their expertise. For that period, usually departments will use them for the design and implementation of a specific program or a project, and then thereafter they will leave, and that's why we are saying transfer skill is very important, that the consultants transfer these special skills to a department and then they can do it themselves in the future. The next slide is on the audit findings at the National Department of Health. If you look at the table, the first is the name of the names of the consultants that was audited and what services did they provide. The second column is the value, the best value we can get that was paid to these consultants or the contract amount, and it's the period in which this consultant was at the department. Then you see the classification, and this is where I referred to the previous slide, the consultant. Contractors, agencies for outsourced services, and then each consultant that was audited was classified as that. The next few blocks is areas where deficiencies were identified during the audit. There you will again see the six focus areas I talked about earlier. If you go down to the bottom, you will see for performance management and monitoring and closing and finalization of a project. That is the deficiencies within the department of health, where the problem area is. But I must also say, for the National Department of Health, if you compare them to the other national departments that were audited, the Department of Health have a lot of measures in place. They have good management measures in place when it comes to the use of consultants. So a few areas was identified where there was deficiencies, performance management and monitoring, where the department should monitor and evaluate the work of these consultants during this period. And then the closing and finalization of projects, where, for example, a project was completed, but there was not enough people to incorporate the deliverables from these consultants. Then the last three blocks is under E's, where I explained the three E's, efficiency, economy, and effectiveness, where, for example, the first one, we would say there was a problem at the closing and finalization of a project. So it was at the end of the project, maybe an objective of the project was not achieved, and that's why we would refer to effectiveness. What is important here, if we have a tick as one of the E's, it's not to say that the project was not effective, it's that the element within the process was not effective.
Are you saying that the tick is more to the negative than positive?
If there's a tick, it means that it was not effective, not efficient, or it was uneconomical. But it's not to say that the whole consultant or the whole project was ineffective, uneconomical, or inefficient. It's just an element within the process. For example, the closing of the project was the consultant did deliver the project at the end of the day. So it was effective, the work of the consultant was effective, but at the time of closing the project, the department might not have somebody to implement those deliverables from the consultant. So that part of the process was not effective. So it's not that the whole consultancy service was not effective. It was good. The next slide is on the contract-specific challenges. This is where we refer to the previous slide. I said there was seven in the sample, and now it is the detailed findings at the Department of Health on these consultants included in the sample. The first one is the all public sector nursing colleges. This is where a consultant was appointed to determine the status of these nursing colleges, the programs that are audited, offered by these nursing colleges, and then the capacity levels at these nursing colleges. At the end of the day, the department wanted to take the outcomes of this audit to inform the development of an implementation plan for building capacity to increase the volume and the quality of training to these nurses. The finding there was the deliverables not effectively implemented due to a lack of permanent staff. So the consultant delivered the product, the audit was done, a report was issued. But at that time, the department did not have sufficient staff to implement these outcomes and recommendations because there was a 60% vacancy rate at the HR Planning, Policy and Research Directorate within the department. So we asked, why was there such a high vacancy rate at the directorate that was responsible to implement the outcomes or the findings and recommendations that was made by the consultant? And it is because of an inadequate HR plan and a moratorium on the filling of vacancies. The next one is the containment of wild poliovirus infectious material. This is where in the late 1990s the World Health Assembly committed the World Health Organization to global polio eradication. And they said that a region will be declared polio-free if it's documented like that for three consecutive years and that all labs have containment measures in place. So the findings there was that the work of the consultant was not reviewed on a timely basis and therefore deficiencies not being identified and addressed in a timely manner. That is where the department itself did not monitor and evaluate the work of the department in a timely manner. And during the March and April 2009 report, it was identified that the consultant didn't achieve what they were supposed to achieve at that time. For example, the World Health Organization said that 10% of all labs in South Africa must be included in the work of this consultant. And what happened is they only selected 15 instead of the 90 labs that were supposed to be selected. And as a result thereof, the project was extended for 7 months because the consultant had to go back to audit the 19 labs instead of the 15 that they originally selected. Inadequate the green block with the inadequate human resource planning and the moratorium on the filling of vacancies resulted in dedicated posts not being created for the periodic monitoring evaluation of these labs. After the work of the consultant was done, then there was supposed to be a post created for somebody within the department. Thereafter, because the consultant compiled a database of all the labs in South Africa that have a connection with the poliovirus infectious materials, so after the consultant left, the department had to appoint somebody to update the database provided by the consultant and also monitor the status of the new labs and also the changes in the current labs. If there were changes in terms of the poliovirus infectious materials and the containment measures, it needed to be updated on this database so it can be sent into the World Health Organization to identify South Africa as a poliovirus-free country or a region. The next one is the development of a national infection prevention and control manual. This is where the consultant compiled this manual and handed it over to the department in March 2009. The finding was that specialized internal capacity was not created to coordinate and evaluate the results of this manual for vetting and input purposes. So the consultant provided the manual to the department in March 2009, but only in April 2010, which is a year later, they appointed a specialist to implement this manual, and that person was appointed on a contractual basis, not on a permanent basis. And then the lack of the specialized internal capacity to facilitate the future implementation of this manual was a problem because it was only a person on a contractual basis that was appointed a year after the manual was completed. This manual is in relation to the infection prevention and control strategy and policy of the department. So this manual would be used to implement the policy and the strategies at all hospitals. The next slide is situational and needs analysis towards the development of a national call center. This is where the department appointed a consultant to do a needs analysis towards the call center in the National Department of Health. The original contract time was 90 days, but as a result of during the planning, factors such as the extent and availability of provincial role players were underestimated. So only during the execution they found out that the planning was not properly done and they did not include the communication with all the role players. And as a result of this, the project was completed 10 months late. During this prolonged period of 10 months, the presidential hotline was also established. So they didn't take that into account. It was supposed to be finished before the presidential hotline. The last one is the non-government organizations, where 3 of those were selected as part of the audit. Those NGOs provide community health services in the Republic of South Africa. Then there was a lack of formal and structured processes to verify performance-related statistics and data that was provided by these NGOs. The department could not verify the completeness, accuracy, and validity of the information that was provided to the department. The department also does not know whether the NGO's actual performance are reflected in those data and statistics that was provided to them because they don't have processes in place to determine whether these information are accurate, complete, and valid. No formal guidelines to assess the feasibility of the objectives or targets as set out in the business plans of the NGOs. Departments can't ascertain whether some targets or objectives in these plans can be met. During 2005, the Global Fund terminated $43 million to one of these NGOs, and the reason for that was because of performance measures that are not in place, government structures that are not in place, and financial and accounting procedures that are not in place. I just want to refer you to the legend in the left hand side, where we refer to the green, the light pink, and the purple. You will see that the blocks are colored like that. This is where we try to give guidance to the committee. What is the possible actions that you can take? For example, the purple ones, you will follow up on corrective actions against the action plan. The Department of Health, in their recommendation, in their commitments that they made to the Auditor General, how they are going to improve these services, they have action plans. So we would like the committee to follow up on these action plans. The pink will be that the committee do monthly, quarterly monitoring on whether these actions were implemented. And when we refer to green, it's a scrutiny of the strategic plans and accountability documents of the department. That's more where we refer to the moratorium on the filling of vacancies and the HR plans. That the committee must pay attention to the accountability documents and the strategic plans. The next one is the key recommendation for, this is not specifically to the Department of Health, but to all the national departments, of how, if what is put in place, can there be improvement in the management measures at the department for the use of consultants. The first thing, formulate a policy, strategy, and applicable guidelines for the use of consultants, that everybody within the department would know exactly what to do from the planning to the closing of when they are using consultants. On your left hand side, create sufficient internal capacity to enable training and transfer of skills. That is where the department should have, when the consultant is finished and they, or during the time they have to transfer that skill, that there's sufficient staff within the department available that those transfer of skills can take place. Proper financial management and control, that is where the department monitor and evaluate the consultant against the budget and the contractual value. On your right hand side, improved planning for the use of consultants, where we refer to needs assessments, proper planning that is done before consultants are appointed, manage and monitor performance against the timelines and also against the quality of the work that is expected of them. The next slide is the combined assurance. There's three levels of insurance. The first one is management assurance. Second one, oversight insurance. And the third one, independent assurance. I just want to refer you to the independent assurance. Oversight, where the portfolio committee sits in, where we say to review the strategic and business plans, as well as the accounting of the report on the use of consultants, where specific attention must be paid on the planning for the use of consultants, where the department do an analysis of whether consultants should be appointed or whether they should use people, internal people to do that work, or whether they should fulfill their vacancies so that somebody is available to perform this task. There must also be a consideration for alternatives, use of consultants versus internal staff. At the end of the day, it is very important the way in which consultants are used, because you must ensure that the department receives value for money at the end of the day. Then it is commitment. We receive commitments from the National Treasury, the Audit and the National Department of Health, the Minister, Portfolio Committees and Department of Public Service and Administration. The national reports are sent out to these parties, and from some of them we receive commitments. The next slide is almost the same as the previous slide, where it's a bit more specific, the commitment that was made by these parties. On your left-hand side is National Treasury, where they indicated that the guidelines on the use of consultants will be reviewed, and there will be more emphasis will be placed on the practice notes and the regulations that are put in place on the use of consultants. Then on top is the Auditor Department and the Minister, it's the Department of Health. This is specifically with regards to each project that we went through earlier. For example, the nursing colleges, they indicated that a new cluster was created to manage and monitor this project. The second one also with regards to capacity, that will be included there. A person was appointed to implement the infection prevention and control manual, and then the hotline was established, and then they referred also to the NGOs that policies and procedures were put in place and how to monitor and evaluate whether the NGOs perform against their performance targets and objectives, and now they have processes in place to evaluate the work of these consultants. Then it's DPSA, where they just identified as a whole, they will assist the government to identify what is the skill shortages and in government, and that they will identify these posts and what skills is needed, and they would assist the government to lower the vacancy rates within the department. And I refer to the last slide, we say it takes two to tango. Here we just want to say that it is important to not always see the use of consultants as something bad. There should be a good partnership between the private sector and the public sector, and it is important that all South African citizens receive value for their money. So if the department and the consultant work closely together, and that the department properly monitor and evaluate the work, and that the consultant do not always come in to get something from the department, but that they can work together to at the end of the day achieve their strategic goals, achieve their plans, targets and objectives, it is good for use of consultants. So we are just saying that there should be a good relationship between the two, and realizing the common goals of economic success requires effort from both government and business to at the end of the day achieve their goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Lady Marika. Members, that is the presentation of consultants. Of consultants in the Department of Health. We thank you very much. I think we need to engage this report. But I need to say, before I say that, welcome Mark, Honorable Grace Duba, Honorable Kenya, Honorable Patricia Kofa. There's something that you mentioned there. I said thank you very much for passing those two things yesterday. But there's something probably that might have been misunderstood by people. I wanted to mention it when all of us are here. There people might have in misinterpreted the second bill with the health amendment bill, not the mental health bill. Well, we said we rejected the national health amendment bill. When we said we rejected it, some people might have interpreted that as rejecting the whole thing. I want to correct that if there was that misinterpretation. We were meaning that we were rejecting it so that it could go for mediation. The bill is still the same. And we're rejecting what was said by the NCOP so that it could go for mediation. And the mediation team has been set up so that it could go. So anybody who misinterpreted thought that the whole bill is being rejected, it is not that way. We're just rejecting what the NCOP said so that it could go for mediation. So welcome those members. This is about the use of consultants in the department. The last one that you talked about, like, how I wish you could have that understanding that you mentioned. Because when I go into business, I look at my profits. So the more there are loopholes, the more I get happy because I'm making more money. So how I wish people could understand that the first thing that comes is your country, and the profits that you get come after. But I wonder whether you have that feeling. So members, that is the presentation. Okay, Honorable Khanna. Honorable Khanna, Honorable Sekhali, Honorable Makosh.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. No, I'm very sane. That's why I was worried that you might declare yourself not sane. Which will contradict your yesterday's position. From this presentation, it's very clear that it does not necessarily mean use of consultants are bad. It means that the utilization of consultants should be strategic, to put it simpler. But, when people talk about South Africa's skills crisis, I looked at some conference of infrastructure or something, and one guy stood up and said, you keep on saying that the shortage of engineers, I'm here and I represent a group of people who are never seen. And you guys keep on saying that we are no skilled, but you never give us the job. We are here. And I think I always take it with a pinch of salt when people say that there are no, there's a shortage of skills. I'm not saying that we are perfect, but the problem is that are we utilizing the skills which are there? You know, like for instance, do we really appoint people who are skilled in terms of appointing people for a job? Do we really appoint people who are skilled, or we appoint people who are not skilled and then we put in engineers to do the job? Especially because I would be interested in where they are vacant, where there are posts which are filled, but the job is done by engineers, by consultants. I'll be more interested in that way. Where you say there's a short a vacancy, it's different, but if there is a vacancy, who monitors the consultant? If there is nobody to monitor the consultant, who monitors them? Because if I'm a consultant and I make money out of you, I'll prefer to be there permanently. Because I'm not accountable to you, but I get paid by you and more than what you usually do. And this issue of treating consultants as partners, you keep on talking about partnership. I've got a problem with that, but why don't we call them service providers? They are appointed to provide service, so they must provide what has been agreed upon that they are going to provide. But partnership means we are friends. You know, we have got the same vision, we have the same objective. But if I'm a consultant, I don't believe that consultants are generally necessarily. Theirs is to make money for their company, foremost. And secondly, they have got to do the job. And if you can monitor them, they will make sure that you appoint them again to do that job. The other point which I wanted to raise was the issue of, I think it's slide number 9, when you talk about agency and support and outsourced services, did you find it that there is a method or a system which we can utilize to be able to monitor these agencies and support, where we are able to say, as the portfolio committee, these agencies are for what is non-core activities, that we are able to say, these are the list of people who are doing non-core, and these non-core, are these once-off or are they permanent? And the other one is that the core provision of healthcare. These consultants who are providing the core responsibility of providing healthcare, so that we can be able to say, but this, I mean, in hospitals you always need people who clean. And I think previously when the department employed the cleaners, the hospitals were more cleaner than when they appointed consultants. I'm sure you, when you were still sane, and a doctor, hospitals were very clean, and they were cleaned by staff of employed by the department. And since you became insane and a politician, the hospitals became dirtier.
I don't know about the non-parliamentary language that is being used by him and the projections. I'm not going to respond to that. No, thanks, Stephanie. But let me remind the members. I think, firstly, though the department is here, we're not going to be asking them to respond. All our interest is to see how the consultant gets used in the department and whether they have an impact and when they leave, do they leave skill at the end. And we are doing this because we're going to be looking at the strategic plans of the department and we want to be able to engage with them before we pass the budget that they want from us. This is basically about that. So we might be asking some of the questions so that to arm ourselves so that when we meet the department, we are very clear of what we're doing. Yeah, I think it's very interesting that sometimes you employ consultants and you get engineers, they say, no, we can't get jobs there because the salary, we don't want to work in the department because the salaries are low. But you get consultants, now you wonder how much are the consultants versus the salary that could be pushed up. But those are some of the questions that... I think we should make this month a mental health month. I'm not going to... Okay, Honorable Professor Hamilton.
Thank you, Chairperson. Don't worry, Chair. You know very well that a person who is psychiatry ill will not know that he's psychiatry ill. We will even see you, the next person, as a psychiatrist. And when he's been asked, always he will be saying, Barry, yeah, that's the number.
We're in that hospital, so we're wearing white coats. I think Dr. Kanzo might remember, but he was very young, he's younger than me. So when we got there, one of the patients that we intervened, she was saying to me, she came to me and said, hey, have you seen those people who are in white coats? Hey, they are very mad, man. The questions that they are asking us, she's a patient. Except for maybe she said, those people are very mad, the questions they are asking. But what they must have been saying to me.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. And I think we really need this type of presentation more often. Because it helped us to get our oversight at the end of the day. The issue of skill crisis in South Africa, I think it is there on a yearly basis, and it's been detected. Then I would like to know, how does the AG's office help in creation of skills? Or are you just coming in and say that there is no skill, then you went out, you come again, there is no skill? Can I be told how do you really help? The use of consultants versus vacant posts. In your opinion, the money used for consultants, if the posts were filled, how different it was it going to be? I think the last one. I just heard you saying that a consultant used for analysis. Can I just check to be specific, what does that mean? you really consultant need to analyze? Do you really think it is on slide 12, a situation and need analysis towards the development of the national call center? Do you think that maybe I am talking as a layperson to be saying that should I really have a consultant or hire a consultant for need analysis? Is it because there is no skill of people who can do need analysis, whereby I call somebody from outside to come and do need analysis for me? Can maybe you can explain further. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have much question to ask. I just want to ask the presenter maybe to share with us how many consultants they have. Maybe I didn't hear when they talk about it. And then the other issue, I just want to know, are these consultants creating a job for our community? And how many we have been blacklisted? Because when you talk about the money, you say what? Value for money. They don't use the money, take our money, and then they don't finish the work. They just go and you appoint another consultant. Thank you, Chairperson.
I see another thing here. Honorable Kenya, but just one thing that is very interesting. Some of these consultants, they come, they do the work, there's an extension of time. Is the money that was in here, the total amount that was paid with the extension, or is the money that was paid before the extension? Okay, Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you for the presentation. I only have just two questions. First question is on page 12. But that when we talk about specific challenges on contracts, I'm worried about this amount of 91.5 million that is spent on Lifeline, Soul City, and Love Life. Why I'm worried is because their visibility is so, maybe it's so weak. We don't really see the need for this large amount of money. Therefore, what is your status? We are talking about value for money. What do you think should be done now that you don't usually see them? They are scarce. Though they are very, this is a very important line when you talk to about the youth of today, but you don't see it moving as it should be done. Now, think of the value for money. Do you think this 291.5 million is worth this project? Secondly, on page 8, talk about the extension of contracts due to lack of project management and monitoring. Again, here, as we talk about this value for money, when I'm talking about the principles of particular principles, my question now is that now that we notice that there's extension of contract due to the lack of project management, what do you think the solution is? Because, to my understanding, a project manager is being employed so as to see and monitor. Therefore, if to extend the contracts just because of lack of this project management, what is happening? Are there no people who can manage these projects? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Maybe what a portfolio committee for help. we get used looking after the whole country. So some of our questions might not be directed to you, because you're just telling us about consultants, might be directed to the department. So if that happens, you feel free to say, no, this one is not going to be answered by me. It goes to the department. Unless you feel it's something that you can answer. Sorry that I'll start with one more, but I forgot her hand, then we'll come to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. I think I'll put it differently. The use of consultants, most of the time people get used to using consultants, and they use the same consultants repeatedly. Have you ever tried to find out why those specific consultants, if they use them that regularly? And around a value for money, maybe the department is not sure whether the work that they wanted done has been done to perfection. So in your interrogations, have you also found out if they feel that the work that has been done is worth the value of the money that has been paid to them? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also take the opportunity to thank the presenter. You see, I'm a bit worried, because here we are addressing the legacy of the past. I think this matter is highly political. Maybe we need to check then, before 94, what was the rate of consultancy with government as compared to the state post 94. You see, the departments will groom, educate, and train capacity. But eventually these people, they go and consult. I see you are saying here the private sector needs to come to party. I don't know your endeavors. Is this just a statement? Are you engaged in the private sector? Because as far as I am concerned, probably we need to, people have with capacity have left the country. How are we bringing them back? People immediately they get capacity, they go for consultants. How do we get them back into public service? So we need together to come with a formula of minimizing consultancy. Lastly, Chair, the issue of projects. I saw the word project elsewhere, yeah. But I think every intensive work needs project management capacity. Do we in our department of health in particular have those project management capacity or of a suspension?
Thank you. I think, members, maybe one of the things that we need to do, members, before you come, Honorable Governor, is to jot down some notes for the department when we see them, when they bring their strategy plan to us. Because I think the information that we've got here is very important for them, to ask them why. So we need to jot down those points so that when we meet them, we are armed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation.
Chair, my point is on the training and transferring skills from the consultant to the employees. I just wanted to find out from the Auditor General's point, whenever there's, because she mentioned that whenever there's a consultant that has been appointed, in terms of their contract, it is stated that they must transfer the skills to the employees within the department. Without being stated on their contract, the department, do they have a plan of action, a plan that is in place, where they say they've identified maybe certain numbers of people who are supposed to be trained, and maybe the time frame, do they identify specific skills that's supposed to be catered for? And in terms of the closing and finalization of the project, does the department together with the consultant sit down to make sure that there's an assessment to see whether the skill transfer is done? Because most of the time, it is just a lip service, but nothing has ever happened. So that is my first question. According to the presentation, she mentioned the key challenges across the department. One of the things she mentioned, the planning and appointment processes and the internal capacity. But when you come to slide number 10, according to the audit findings, she further said that where there are no ticks, it shows that it is good. Where there are ticks, something is wrong. But I was checking in terms of the very same issues that you highlighted as challenges. Under planning and appointment, it is only one project, that is Dipale, that you just ticked. So I also check in terms of human capacity, there's nothing, which means it's good. I also check here under training and skills transfer, there's nothing. So why should it be a challenge according if the table doesn't indicate so? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Marie, it goes back to you. I think you are three, so you can share the question. I see Dr. Kanji wants to answer. Oh. I thought you wanted to answer on that behalf.
Thank you, Chair Members. I think a lot of these issues will most likely be answered by the department. But I want to refer back to this. When we talked about the key challenges, it was across all departments. I referred to all 8 national departments and these when we said this was the key challenges identified. When I got to the table at 6, it was specifically with the Department of Health. When I went to the table at the end, I said some of the focus areas the Department of Health are very good in, and they have management measures in place. For example, planning and appointment, internal capacity, training and transfer and skills and so forth. If I can work back from your question with regards to the closing of projects, more problems were identified at the closing of project. The consultants do perform their work, hand it over to the department, but then at the end, at the closing of the project, the department don't have the capacity in place to implement it. So it also goes back to the value for money question. Yes, the consultant delivered the services, and it was maybe delayed because of deficiencies, but it was done and the amount was paid, but the department didn't put somebody in place to implement it afterwards. So it's more the problem on the closing of projects and then the monitoring and evaluation in between to get it done in time. At this department, we didn't identify the extension of contract or, for example, a needs analysis that was not done. It is more with regards to at the end of the project where they had to implement the project. And then when bring it backwards, the transfer of skills to employees. At this department, there was not any issues with regards to the transfer of skills, so it was included in the contract and then the skills transfer did not take place. It was more with regards to the implementation. If I can say in general, with the findings that we found is, the departments at the beginning or during the planning do not specifically identify the skills that needs to be transferred from the consultant to the department at the end of the day. Sometimes departments would also include the skills to be done in the contract, but then there's nobody in place to monitor and evaluate whether these skills were actually transferred to the consultant, but not at the National Department of Health. Then a lot of things goes around the monitoring and evaluation at the National Department of Health. The DG gave her commitment, and we had our hearing at the National Department of Health also 2 weeks ago. And specific policies and procedures were put in place, for example, the monitoring and evaluation of these NGOs. It was also interesting that she brought up that some of these services, like you said, they are not that much visible, and we are paying this kind of money to the consultant. Processes will be in place, and the department is also going to use some of the internal staff to do this work in future, so they will not be that much reliant on the use of consultants in these areas anymore. So most of this will be decisions with regard to what the department are taking, what the commitments the departments are making of how to improve these processes. We identify and then we provide recommendations of how they can improve, but at the end of the day, it's the department that provides back the commitment of how they're going to improve it. It's really with regards to the question with regards to the core and the non-core function. It's not for us to give a list of core and non-core functions. That goes back to the department, where they identify what is core and non-core. And if it's non-core, you can appoint a consultant, but for core business, they must identify and fill their vacancies inside. And it's very important with your role with regards to the strategic planning coming up and the planning that the department are doing in terms of comparing, are they filling internal posts or are they appointing consultants? Is the analysis done? What is the most cost-effective way of doing your business and at the end of the day achieve your mandate? Another question that came up with regards to the consultants that are used, the same consultants are used over and over and over again. That was not identified at the National Department of Health. But in general, what happens is when consultants, during the time, there's no people available to transfer the skills to, and that is where there's no people available to transfer the skills to, where they appoint this consultant again and again and again, and then they become reliant on them. But that was not specifically with regards to the department, National Department of Health. With regards to the value for money, National Department of Health consultants did the work, although the project was delayed, it was not completed in time, they received the project, but again the problem is just at the end of the project and the implementation thereof. One question came up on the capacity what the AG is doing. Our Auditor General is part of a lot of committees, engineering committees, accountants committees, where they identify what we found during our audits, and then that way try to bring the message across what is wrong in government, what is in the public sector, and the recommendations we are making and what role we are playing. And that way we try to capacitate people as well. With regard to the question of how many consultants, I only have the slide on what is the amount that was paid with regards to consultants, not the specific number of consultants used. Consultants used, are they creating jobs in our country, consultants? I think that's more a question to the department and then the consultants they are using. How many have been blacklisted? Not specifically in the National Department of Health Audit, because they did deliver. We didn't go that far to see, because it was not as if nothing was done or a project was obsolete or just the objectives were not achieved. So we can't comment on whether any of these were blacklisted. And then the question with regards to the vacant positions. The vacancy rate for the National Department of Health is 29%. Also interesting, at the hearing, the DG talked about what planning that they did after this audit in terms of their HR plan, and they have a huge run to fill all these vacancies. And as she indicated that the vacancy rate decreased a lot from the date of this report to what is happening now. The department are doing something about it, and this report had an impact on that. Then with regards to the skills crisis, I hear what you're saying in terms of the skills crisis, but still the department has a high vacancy rate. So it's just the way in which the department would attract these skills. Yes, the skills are in the country. Unfortunately, a lot of people are leaving the country, but it's the way in which the department, when they get these people, how they use these people, and how they keep these people. And then the agencies and outsourced services, we were talking about, and the core and the non-core function. A lot of non-core function, like, an example, that was a question for the situational and needs analysis, whether it should be done internally or by using a consultant. This is a needs analysis. It's not every day that the department establishes a hotline. So it could say costly that a consultant needed to be contracted in for that. It's on a cost and material basis. So it's a temporary basis. They got somebody in to do this work for them, and then they had to implement it. But it's for the department itself to determine whether this can be done internally, not for us, to say whether they can, they have the skills internally to do that.
I think honorable mother, this mother doesn't have answers. I think she has finished everything. Prof. Fariava is what is there. He knows consultants in the Department of Health, in the department. As a consultant is somebody who's far learned than the juniors. So he might mistake what consultants are doing. We're not talking about those consultants in the internal medicine. So he's a consultant in the internal medicine, but we're not talking about those consultants. We're talking about other consultants. Members, thank you very much. I think let's go for tea. I think the key question that we should go out with is that I think the question is whether we need consultants. I think we do need them. But I think there seems to be more challenges with the department. The fortunate thing is that it seems as if the Department of Health is the best of the many that have got consultants. But it seems as if they don't have proper planning for these consultants. Neither are they able to monitor them and see. And these are the questions that we should be posing to them. And the interesting part is this one of salaries. If I can pay consultants that amount of money, why can't I raise the salaries of those that I want from the outside to come and do the work if I don't have them, rather than go to consult if I've got money that I can pay consultants? They really focus me. But thank you very much for the vision. It has helped us. We know you are our buddies. We do the oversight work with Auditor General, and you assist us in making sure that we can handle people, not in a cruel way, but in making sure that the citizens are getting the better of the money that they pay for tax. Thank you very much. Let's go for tea at 11. We'll be back here. Welcome CMS, led by Prof. Fariava. So we'll be talking to you at 11 o'clock. We've got a new leader, Prof. Fariava, the consultant, the real consultant. Okay, let's go for tea.